The Overcome Today podcast aims to encourage, inspire, and empower through real life stories. My prayer is that when you listen to each episode, you're pointed to Jesus, who loves you with an everlasting love. Remember, your story has power, and when you share it, it can help someone know that they're not doing life alone. But most of all, that navigating life without Christ is pointless. Hello, Overcomers. Welcome to episode 105. Before I get into it, thank you so much for the love on episode 104, which came after a very, very long hiatus. Now, if you aren't caught up on why I was away for 8 months, please have a listen. Now, for the next few episodes, I'm going to do a mini-series called Against the Culture or Against the Current. Now, this is not quite new because it is off a sermon series that I did at my home church in May. And I thought, why not share it with my Overcomer family too? To be honest, this is really one hard series to do. First of all, I am not worthy to talk about it because I am a sinner just like each one of you in need of grace. But in my brokenness, I continue to obey God and let God use me. Whatever I will share in this series is not new to me. Some of it is stuff that I still struggle with today. But I pray that it will encourage you to pursue God and His Word daily so that you can overcome them. Now, this is a series where I will look at worldly trends and how God's Word empowers us to stand firm against them. We know there's culture, there's everything, and we are called to be salt and light of the earth. However, right now, there's this sort of gray area. You can't really tell a Christian, a believer or a disciple of Christ from a non-believer or someone who does not follow Christ. It's very gray. And I'm not talking about just the physical appearance, but even the mannerisms and the behaviors and how, you know, how we live our day to day. So we're going to look at scripture, what it says, because trust me, I believe, and I still believe to this day, that the Bible has answers for everything. Some of these things that are happening by the imagine are not so new. And so the overarching scripture that we will use as the basis or foundation for this series is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I will read this in three versions just for you to be able to compare and contrast. And I encourage you to meditate, read commentaries about this scripture. But it's really important sometimes, or rather, I like to sometimes read scripture in different versions just for me, even for my understanding, just to be able to get it clear. So the NIV version says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And the Amplified Version, which I really, really love and is so relevant to this series, I mean, in how they've put it, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. What a powerful, powerful scripture. Now I'm going to be touching on some really sensitive topics. Some of you, and sorry to say this, you will be offended, because these are ideals that you've held very close to your heart and believe them to be truth. However, I'm going to reiterate Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So that's the word of God. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So don't get mad at me. Oh yeah, I'm just sharing the word of God. There are numerous trends today, but I'm going to only focus on four in this series. So this week, let's start off with self-love. Now, how many of you are all about self-love or self-care? You know, filling up your cup before you can fill others. Attend to yourself first before you can attend to others. Be honest. I'm putting my hand up, by the way, because that's an ideal I've held for myself. Now, before we get to what the Bible says about self, I decided to do a bit of research. And I wanted to know, where did all this self-love talk start? And this is what I found. The self-love movement can trace its roots back to the hippie era of the 1960s. Essentially, there was skepticism against government and political leaders, and people believed that truth was relative and that facts were subjective rather than objective. Now, this generation in the 60s had seen so much pain, destruction, and loss, and as a result, the solid truths that they previously stood on didn't seem to be relevant anymore. As a reaction to the Vietnam War, the hippie generation decided that it spread peace and love. Perhaps they thought that they could solve the hate in the world through each individual choosing to love themselves more. The movement grew and turned into what we have today, the self-love movement. Of course, there have been strong voices today about self-love. Now, according to Jeffrey Borenstein, who is the president of the Brain and Behavior Research Foundation, he says that self-love is a state of appreciation for oneself that grows from actions that support our physical, psychological, and spiritual growth. Self-love means having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others. Self-love means not settling for less than you deserve. Sounds nice, yeah? Hold up. Now, Anna Sando, I hope I said her name right, of Medical News Today says that self-love has to do with self-compassion, self-kindness, mindfulness, and moving away from perfectionism. Now, many describe self-love as self-acceptance, loving your body, choosing not to compare yourself to others, and having a self-care ritual. Now, this all sounds nice and positive, right? Let's be real. They do have a point. We should take care of ourselves. We need to be kind to ourselves. We need to refuse to criticize ourselves and appreciate our weaknesses. But the big question is, what is self-love trying to achieve? Now, looking intently at this thinking, self-love promises that we'll be more content, more confident, as free as a bird. But can we really achieve these things on our own? Sorry to break it to you, but self-love is idolatry. Self-love is idolatry. It indirectly tries to replace Christ in being our source and our foundation. It preaches that if you love yourself better, you'll find more fulfillment in life, which is a huge lie. Now, I came across a blog article that said this, and I quote, "Interestingly enough, it sounds self-love sounds very works-based. If you do this and don't do that, you'll be happy. But the gospel is greater than this. Jesus gave his life so that we don't have to spend all of ours focusing on do's and don'ts." End of quote. So the big question is it wrong to love ourselves? Let's look at the word. Ephesians 5:29. "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." Already, we can see that the scripture assumes we love ourselves. And this could be why the second of the two greatest commandments tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. We tend to seek self-preservation above all else. Jesus tells us to seek the well-being of others as we would seek our own. Now let's look at what the Bible says about self-love. We've seen self-love is putting yourself first. Now I want us to put this in a visual way. Now, I want you to imagine, or if you can do it, draw a table with two columns, lie versus truth. Now, the lie on the left is what the enemy or the world is telling us, and the truth, the column on the right, is the word of God. All right? Okay, let's do this. I hope you guys are with me. So the lie number one says, put yourself first. What does the truth say? The truth says, put God and others first. And that we can see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's number one. Number two, the second lie, glorify or exalt yourself. That's the second lie. Glorify or exalt yourself. But what does the truth of God say? It says, glorify God and humble yourself. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And lie number three says, regard yourself highly. But what does the truth say? The truth says, consider others more significant than ourselves. And we see that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, nothing catches God by surprise. As I said earlier, he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God. So this self-love movement, is not new to him. Yeah, it's not new. Like, he knew this would be coming. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And sorry, guys, I'll quote a lot of scripture, but that's the point. I want you guys to see that it's not me saying all these things. This is what is found in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. God knew this would happen. But is he listing it as a good thing? Or is he listing it in that list as sin? Of course, it's a sin. And we need to get to a point of acknowledging it and going to him in repentance. So is the Bible saying that we shouldn't have boundaries? Because I'm sure some of you are like, oh, hold up. Like, I don't want people trampling all over me. That is why I love myself. But I'm going to quote another blog article that I came about. And I love how this author put it. No, we should have boundaries. I mean, they are absolutely necessary. Rest is necessary. And, you know, we can't give if we're empty. We need time to rest and refuel in God's presence. But, and this is a huge but, our main pursuit in life should not be, how can I make myself feel good? Instead, it should be, how can I serve God and others better? You see? So when you're putting those boundaries and when you're resting and you're trying to refresh and seek God in to refresh you, what is your pursuit or what is your motive for self, the so-called self-love? Now, our orientation should be God-word and not self-word. When we're looking towards God, we will love ourselves well. The attributes of God are our basis for showing ourselves and others love and kindness. It doesn't come from within us, and it certainly doesn't end within us. Instead of pursuing self-love, we must rest in the love that God has for us, which has been made real in Christ's work through the cross. The reason many of us struggle to love the self is because we haven't enjoyed the depths of God's love. Jesus teaches us that the way to the Father is by pursuing and loving God with all that we have. And we see that in Mark chapter 12, verses 30, and these are his words. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might and with all your strength. Once we see ourselves as redeemed, forgiven, restored, we will be confident that we are loved by the one true God. It is only when we start to understand and experience God's personal love for us that we can love others as well. And I'll quote Jesus as well in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. This is just after the one I've read. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment. There's no other commandment greater than these. Now, I want us to look at the order of how Jesus said it. We are first called to love God, then to love others. Please notice that self is last on the list. So FYI, self-love is not the gospel. It is self-seeking and it is selfish. Instead, we should aim for biblical love. Biblical love encompasses love for God, others, and a proper and healthy love towards ourselves. The self-love movement offers a means to an end that can only be achieved in Christ. If you do all the right things, you will feel more worthy. But we can only find true worth and satisfaction in Christ. This does not come from loving ourselves better. Did you like this episode and feel inspired to share your story? If you'd like to get featured on the podcast, fill in the Google form in the show notes below and I'll contact you. You can also follow me on social media at Overcome Today and send a DM or email me overcometodaypodcast@gmail.com. Well, that's it for this week, folks. Share this episode with a friend so that they can be encouraged, if anything. They can be convicted, inspired, empowered, or just moved to really pursue God and His Word every day. So until next week, bless. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Today podcast. Want to support the podcast? Leave a review or a rating on whatever platform you're listening to this on. Also, I'd love to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let me know what your favorite part of the show was by taking a screenshot of the episode you've tuned into and share it on your story. Tag me at Overcome Today and let me know what your takeaway from today's show was. Remember, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you.